All right, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise God. Good morning, Orange County Gospel Fellowship. Good morning, everybody in your living rooms, in your kitchens, wherever it is you're listening, and anybody who is listening in from even outside of our church that you're joining us this morning. Praise God. I just want to get into the Word this morning, but as we go into get into the Word, we're talking about spiritual perception. And I just want to take it on this, this direction where we're looking at our glasses. Is it either half full or is it full? Empty or overflowing, right? So how do you perceive your glass to be? That's the question today. And I just want to keep your, for you to keep your mindset on that as we go through this morning. So as we go on, we're going to move into, we're going to look at the three glasses, right? So your glass is either empty, half full, half empty, or full. So I just want to give a brief description. I know that's been played out so many times, but I just want to take a different look at this. So, right, if the glass is empty, right, are you stressed because you have nothing? Or are you excited because it can now be filled and undefiled? So undefiled means, can you fill it with the perfect Word of God? Can you fill it with the worship of God? Can you fill it with pastors who are going to direct you in the perfect Word of God? So it's undefiled. You should be excited that that's something that can be poured into with nothing else in there. So also, if the glass is half full or you perceive it as half empty, are you anxious about hoarding the little you have? Or are you excited to see that the actions you have taken have produced some fruit and you were determined to continue on this path of prosperity? So praise God. So then number three would be, if your glass is full, do you become cautious and anxious about being able to maintain that status of being full? Or are you excited because you understand that while you are now full, if you continue to persevere in the Lord, then your glass will overflow. And that which overflows will now spill into the lives of others as it spreads from your glass. All those in your sphere of influence will be touched by that which the Holy Spirit is doing in you. So these are the three perspectives. And I want you to just kind of keep those in your mind as we go through this. And just as we go through also, just keep this, I guess, this phrase in your mind. And I'm going to bring it up a couple of times during the word this morning. But if you just keep this in focus, right? Our spiritual perception is seen through our actions or reactions to circumstances around us. So praise God. That's the introduction to it this morning. I just want to pause there and just pray that the Lord would truly have his way in this world this morning and he would have his way in this service this morning. So if you just want to bow your head with me in prayer. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for just this time this morning, Lord. I just thank you for this word that you have given me, Lord. I just ask that you hide me behind your cross this morning, Lord, that you would have your way, that you would fill this place, Lord, that you would fill every home, every mind, every person who is listening in on this service this morning, Lord, that you would open up their eyes, their ears, their minds, so they would be able to hear, see, and perceive everything that you are saying to us this morning in your spirit, oh, Father God. Lord, I thank you, and I just give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, so as we get into this, I'm going to go through and look at five men of renown in the scriptures. And even if you've never opened your Bible, they're household names. You got Abraham, you got Moses, you got David, you got Peter, and you got Paul. So each one of them, we're going to look at them from the perspective of how their spiritual perception was either off or their spiritual perception was on, and how their situation or how the environment around them affected their actions and how and what happened because of that. So as we go in here to Genesis 20, verses 1 through 3, we're going to look at Abraham, right? And now Abraham journeyed from there towards the land of the Negev and settled between Kadesh and Shur. Then he sojourned in Gerar. Abraham said to Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream of the night and said to him, behold, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is married. Now we know Abraham as a man who believed God and was counted him as righteousness, right? But here he is, he's in a land that's strange to him. He's in a situation that he's unfamiliar with. He's in a situation that's threatening his very life. Because we know it was customary back then that the king would kill the husband and take the wife, especially because Sarah was such a beautiful woman. So he didn't tell a full lie, but he told a half-truth. Because Sarah indeed was his half-sister. So he didn't actually tell a lie, but at the same time, he did not have the confidence and the courage to know that God had him in this situation. But we see here that God did have him in this situation. But we see how that, the actual circumstances that were surrounding him caused his perception of God, his perception of his situation to be off. And then we see Moses, right? Again, Moses is another household name. We know that Moses is another man of God who was an awesome man of God, an awesome leader. But we see here, it says, then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in the time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. The Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who mistakes him, who makes him mute or deaf? Or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then, go and I, even I, will be with your mouth and teach you all that you are to say. But he said, please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, and he said, is there not your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently, and moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. So as we look at this, Moses again here is being sent to speak with Pharaoh. He's overwhelmed by the thought that he has to go before Pharaoh and he's take on this leadership role. And he's overwhelmed by it. And even as he knows, he saw God in the burning bush. He had spoke to the Lord. He knew God. Even here, his perception of the situation, his spiritual perception was off because he was affected by the actual circumstances that were surrounding him. And we have to be very careful as we walk through life that we don't allow our circumstances to knock us off course or misalign our vision of who God is. And then therefore we see here that God's anger burned against Moses, right? So we want to make sure that as we're proceeding through our walk with the Lord, that we're continuing to be in his favor, number one, but also we're perceiving that he is able to handle every situation we find ourselves in. So then we go on and we're going to look at David, right? And then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem. Now, when evening came, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful in appearance. So David sent and inquired about the woman, and one said, is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? So here we have David. We know that David is another mighty man of God. David's a man of action. He's a guy after God's own heart. But here, as his perception, as his surrounding, as his surroundings around him, as he started to become lax, I guess, in his pursuit of God, as his cup was at that place of being full, right, and he was relaxing in the fact that his cup was full. Here he goes, and his perception, his spiritual perception, is off because the enemy has come in and caused him to actually be distracted by this beautiful woman. And not only is he distracted by her, not only does he actually inquire about her, but he even goes further, and he has Uriah, her husband, killed. So, you know, we have to be very careful. Here are men of renown, men of valor, men who are truly seeking after God, and their perception, their spiritual perception was off because of the circumstances that were around them. So we have to be very careful and not think that we ourselves are in any ways immune to this. So now we're going to look at Peter, right? Then he warned the disciples that they should tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised up on the third day. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. Now, this is very interesting because you'll see as we go through this that Peter had just made an awesome declaration of faith. He had just realized that Jesus Christ was Messiah. And out of that place of rejoicing, out of that place of gladness, and out of that place of excitement, here the enemy takes opportunity to actually cause Peter to stumble and have his perception, his spiritual perception of what God is doing in his midst to be miscued. And he is actually affected in what he's doing here. And he's, and even as Jesus himself said, for you're not setting your mind on God's interest, but man's. So we have to be very careful that as we go through this, that we are placing our concerns, we're placing our person, we're placing our thoughts, we're placing all of that we have before God. And the only way we can do that is by coming into his presence, coming into that quiet place before God and starting to learn and know the voice of God in our lives. So now we're going to look at Saul, who becomes Paul. But here it says, Saul was in heavy, hearty agreement with putting him to death. This is talking about Stephen. And on that day, a great persecution began against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Some devout men buried Stephen and made loud lamentations over him. But Saul began ravaging the church, entering house after house and dragging off men and women. He would put them in prison. So here we see Paul. Paul is devout in his pursuit of God. But even as he's pursuing God, even as he's persecuting the church that Christ has now established, he believes in his heart that he's doing what is right. And as he's, but the problem is that his perception is off. His spiritual perception is off. He's perceiving in a place, from a place of carnality, he's perceiving that there is a shift. He's perceiving that things are going in a different direction, but his spiritual perception is off. And the actual circumstances that he finds himself in, the surroundings he finds himself in, causes him to stumble in being in alignment with God's word and what God is doing in his life. And I'm sure that would never have been Paul's desire, because we know that Paul's desire right from the start was to always be in alignment with God. But here, Satan again takes opportunity to actually use this situation to even bring him down a path that he would never want to go in. So we have to be very careful and very aware. And so I would just want to keep this in your mind. So our spiritual perception is seen through our action, our reactions to circumstances around us. And now we saw those five men of God, we saw those five men of renown, how their reaction or their action was not in line with the will and the plan and the purpose of God because of the circumstances that were surrounding them. So we have to be very careful as we proceed through this, that we don't allow the things of the world, the distractions of the world. There's so many of them to list. There's the TV, there's advertisements, there's bills, there's jobs. All of these things are all potential distractions. But we have to continually be in the presence of God, continually come before God and be able to know his voice above all those distractions. So now we're going to go and we're going to move into the actual area where we see these same five men and their spiritual perception is correct, that even with the circumstances around them, they're actually in alignment with God, they're hearing from God. And we're going to go into it as we go through this, we'll see that what the difference was. But for now, let's just look at these going from, again, from Abraham all the way through Paul. So again, for Abraham it says, then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Here Abraham knows. He knows that Isaac is the child of the promise. He knows that the promises that God made him, that he was supposed to be a nation with offspring larger than even the sands on the seashore. And he knew that that was supposed to come through Isaac. But somehow, even in this, he knew that God was able to fulfill that promise because he was hearing from God. He was in tune with God. He was actually, his spiritual perception of this situation was in tune with the will, the plan, and the purpose of God. So now we'll go on and we'll also look again at Moses, right? And then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Then he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and he threw it into the waters, and the waters became sweet. Then he made for them a statute and regulation, and there he tested them. So here we see Moses, right? He's coming out of Egypt, leading a nation of Israel, millions of people. And here they are quarreling, complaining in the desert, asking him. He's not familiar with this place of leadership. Hasn't been trained up necessarily in leading men and women in the ways of God. But here he is in this situation, and he knows enough to cry out to God. And that's the same for each and every one of us. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, that has to be our first choice, not our second third option, but that just be our first option. Here he is, and you know what strikes me as so strange in this is that God's answer to Moses is, well, here's a tree, throw that into the water. Now, for all those of you who are scientific of mind, I guess, you could try and do this in lab, you could try and work all this up, you could try and say, how is a branch from this tree going to turn, you know, salt water to good water? There's just, it just doesn't compute. But here, Moses believes the word of God over even any objection or anything that might cloud his mind. And that is what happens when our spiritual perception is in the right place and when it's where it is. But the only way that can happen, that doesn't happen by accident. There is no way that can happen. First, you have to be saved. Second, you have to be pursuing God. You have to be pursuing a relationship with Jesus. You have to be in your quiet place and hearing and knowing the very voice of the Holy Spirit so that when that situation arises, that you will not have those arguments coming in your head, but that you will be able to hear clearly the voice of the Holy Spirit and believe the very voice of the Holy Spirit. So we go on and we are going to look at David. I love this. This is one of my favorite descriptions, I guess, in the Bible, because David was a man of war. And it says, now the Philistines came up once again and spread themselves out in the valley of Rephaim. And when David inquired of the Lord, he said, you shall not go directly up, circle around behind them and come at them in front of the balsam trees. It shall be when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the balsam trees, then you shall act promptly. For the Lord will have gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. Then David did so, just as the Lord had commanded him, and struck down the Philistines from Geba as far as Jezer. That's me. It always makes me laugh when I hear this. Here is a military man, a general over an army that is of thousands, tens of thousands, and he is captains over all of these thousands and tens of thousands. And here is his instruction. They're now coming against the Philistine army that they're fearful that they're going to lose to. David goes before God. They see him go before God. Then he comes back to them. And he says, all right, we're going to go around this way. And when you see that, when you hear the wind rustling in the leaves, that'll be a sign that God has gone before us and actually, you know, has won the battle for us. But can you imagine being a captain in that army, right? How many times does a wind blow through the trees? How many times could that be mistaken for, well, what is with this guy? How is he kind of lost it? You know, we have to, but David was so sure of who God was, of his relationship with God, of his being able to depend on God, that he was able to go back to these men of valor, these military men, and give them this instruction. Not a tactical battle plan, but a battle plan of, well, let's go around them and let's wait till we hear the wind blowing in the trees. And that's going to be our sign. You know, I'm sure that if I was there, I would have kind of been questioning David's sanity at that point. But still, God went before them. God gave them the victory because David's ability to hear God was in tune because his perception of who God was. He didn't allow the circumstances that were surrounding him to actually affect his perception of who God was. And now we go on to Peter, right? And we see here, Peter now again, we saw in the first example where Peter's perception was off. Peter had just gotten ahead of himself, if you will, but here, the Lord is asking them, Jesus is asking them, who does people say that I am? And they're saying, some say Elijah, some say the prophet. But he said, so who do you say that I am? So he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So as we see this here, again, Peter has been asked a question which he does not know the answer to. But he's there and he's around all of these disciples, and the pressure is on for him to give a correct answer. But yet, He hears the voice of God. He speaks it out with boldness, and he is blessed for it. Now, we see that quickly the enemy takes that same proclamation and causes him to get ahead of himself even in the next. But we have to be in that same place. We have to, that we start to understand and know clearly the plans of God, the purposes of God, so that when a fake does arise, we will be able to recognize it and we'll be able to move in the direction God desires for us to go in. But here we see Paul and says, but the Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. Oh, went the wrong way, sorry. But while the disciples stood around him, he got up and entered the city. The next day, he went away with Barnabas to Derbe. Now, here we see Paul. Paul's in the city. He's preaching the word of God. The Jews rise up against him because he's speaking the name of Jesus. And they stone him and leave him for dead. But Paul's heart is so turned and so in tune with the plan, the purpose of God, that his life means nothing to him, but his desire is that he would spread the word, that he would make disciples of all nations, that he would make Christ known in the city, regardless of what it costs to him. And you know, we so often shy away from going the full mile with Jesus. We've grown up in a culture that we have grown used to our creature comforts, if you will. But God is calling us to more. He's calling us to a more rigorous walk with him, a more devout walk with him, a more concentrated walk, where we're not allowing the actual coronaviruses, we're not allowing the TV stations, we're not allowing the things on our jobs, we're not allowing the naysayers to actually cause us to be distracted from the cause, the plan, the purpose that Jesus has. Jesus has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. We were saved with a plan and a purpose. He said he saved us unto good works, which he had already established beforehand. So we were saved unto good works. So he has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. He has a plan and a purpose, and we have to make sure that we're in the place where we can hear the word of the Lord, and we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, even as he is giving us instruction. So again, our spiritual perception is seen through our action and our reactions to circumstances around us. And we have to be aware of these things, because the enemy is out there. You know, once you're saved, and I'm speaking to everyone who's saved, you're not saved, I urge you to, right now even, submit your heart to the Lord. You know, look, find a good church, find people who are already saved in the Lord, and start to learn what that means to actually be saved. You know, and pray that prayer, confess your sins before God, and ask God to enter into your heart and start to open your eyes and open your ears and open your mind so that you would understand this stuff. But to those who are saved, we cannot allow anything that's in our lives to actually distract us from what God is calling us to. And here, as he, so we're looking here now at, we saw the five instances with the men of valor in the scriptures. So I want to broaden that a little bit more to even the disciples, to the Pharisees, right? They were all in Jesus' presence during the time that he was walking through. They were all waiting for Messiah. They were all waiting for this King of Kings, but their perception was that he would be a man of war, that he would be a general that would lead their armies, that would liberate them from the Romans. So their perception, their spiritual perception of what to expect was off. They were working off their agenda and not submitting their will, their way, their plans to the Lord, and allowing the Lord to actually direct their path. It says, do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So here we see in Mark 8, 6 through 17, and I'm just going to read through this, and then it's very interesting what happens as we read through this. And he says, and he directed the people to sit down on the ground, and taking the 7 loaves, he gave thanks and broke them and started giving them to his disciples to serve them, and they served them to the people. They also had a few small fish, and after he had blessed them, he ordered these to be served as well. And they ate and were satisfied, and they picked up 7 large baskets full of what was left over of the broken pieces. About 4,000 were there, and he sent them away. And immediately he entered the boat with his disciples and came to the district of Dalmanutha. The Pharisees came out and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Sighing deeply in his spirit, he said, why does this generation seek for a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. Leaving them, he again embarked and went away to the other side. And they had forgotten to take bread and did not have more than one loaf in the boat with them. And he was giving orders to them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began to discuss with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why do you discuss the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet see or understand? Do you have a hardened heart? And as we look at this, here is a perfect example of Jesus walking amongst all of those who he's trying to minister to. And the Pharisees were coming against him, asking him for a sign. He had just performed a miracle of feeding 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Yet they wanted an additional sign, something more to prove that he was the Son of God. And Jesus was grieved in his spirit. He said no sign would be given because he's already performing signs and miracles all around them. But then his disciples, who were in the boat with him, right, had witnessed him actually feeding 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread. And here is 12 and Jesus 13 and maybe a few more in the boat, and they have one loaf of bread. And they're saying, oh, we don't have enough bread. You know, they've missed the point of Jesus again. You know, he's asking them, do you not yet see or understand? You know, he could have the exact same question for us. There's so many times that Jesus brings us, or through the Holy Spirit, he brings us to a situation in our lives and he asks us to trust him. He asks us to believe him. He asks us to put our faith and our trust in him, not necessarily what we understand the outcome to be. And what is our response? I'm not going to answer that question for you. You have to answer that question for yourself this morning. But I urge you to start searching your heart. Where is your spiritual perception? Are you perceiving what the Lord is doing in your life with a fervency, with a clarity that would actually guide us in the right direction? Are we actually hearing from the Holy Spirit? Are we taking that time aside each and every day? You know, we're all shut up, I guess, in our houses right now during this time, right? Except for the essential workers, and praise God for them. But I just want to, you know, encourage you, don't let this time go by. You know, even though there might be fear, there might be anxiety, there might be, all this fake news, if you will, or all these different conspiracy theories going around, do not let that be what you focus on. Focus on the Lord, because the Lord is doing mighty things even through this. He's bringing families together. He's bringing us back to a time where we can actually seek him, where we can actually see his glory, where we can actually realize that the church is not a brick building, but the church is bigger, much bigger than that. We can do this, and we can reach you. We can reach you with the word of God, and God can still minister to you wherever it is that you find yourself. So there is nothing that can stop the word of God from going forth. There is nothing that can stop the Lord doing what he desires through us. But our perception, our spiritual perception, has to be in tune with what God is doing. If our spiritual perception is off, then we hinder that very work. We see that the work is hindered, and we see that even has devastating results. So I just urge you this morning to truly seek God. And I want to kind of not just close with this, but I want to look at this last piece of scripture that I'm going to read. It's from 1 Corinthians. And I want to urge you to truly be looking at what it is that God is doing in your life, what it is he's calling you to. If you're listening to this and you're not saved, if you're listening to this and you're on the fence, don't be on the fence any longer. Don't remain unsaved. Cry out to Jesus. Ask him to show you. Ask him to reveal himself to you. He revealed himself to me, and I have never been the same since. And I encourage you to continue to pursue after him. Continue to allow him to minister to you. And I just want to read this, and just stay with me, because as I read through this, there's a lot of information in there. But I just want to really focus on this. So it's here in 1 Corinthians, this chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstrations of the Spirit and of power. So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. Wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age have understood. For if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and they cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of God, of the Lord, that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So praise God, our spiritual perception is seen through our action or reactions to circumstances around us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, those who are on the fence out there, those who are not even saved, I urge each and every one of you to understand that there is a message that is going forward. God is imploring each and every one of us. He has done all the work. Jesus Christ came and he did the work on the cross. He came and he paid the sin debt for every single sin that has ever been created by mankind. He took that upon himself. It is just for us to actually come and receive of that free gift. And I just want to urge you this morning that if you are saved, to continue to seek after God, continue to get into your prayer closet, to get into that quiet place, hear God's voice, know God's voice. Don't allow the distractions of the world, the distractions of the time that is around us to actually cause us to be distracted from what God is calling us to. This is not a time for distraction or for being pursuing after all the things that we hear in the media or all the things that we're being told by others or all these conspiracy theories. But this is a time to hear from God. This is a time to be a light. This is a time where even as we look at our glasses, if they're empty, then go and actually fill them with the things of God. Go and seek out a church. Go seek out pastors. Go seek out the Word of God. Go seek out worship before God and fill your glass with that. And as your glass starts to be filled with that and you see it's half full, don't become anxious and hoarding onto that, but be glad that your glass is half full and that all that you have been doing is now causing there to be an actual substance increase in your life. And then continue with doing that. Continue with doing what it is so that your glass gets to a place of being full. And when your glass is full, that's not a time to sit back and relax. That's not a time that you have now reached maturity, because none of us can ever reach a full maturity in the Lord, because no matter how deep we go, God is deeper still. There is still more to learn about our loving Father. So as our glass comes to that place of being full, continue to pursue after God. Continue to pursue after the Holy Spirit. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and allow God to not just fill our glass, but to fill our glass to overflowing. So we start touching the lives, touching the hearts, touching the minds of our neighbors, our co-workers, our family members, everyone that God puts in our sphere of influence, that they would come to understand that there is a God in heaven and his desire is to know you. His desire is to love you. His desire is to meet you where you are at and start to draw you in, start to bring you through the steps of spiritual maturity. And I just want to leave you with this morning, that you just continue to pursue after and continue to hone in on that, on the perception of who God is, and don't allow the ways of the world, right, the circumstances that are surrounding us, cause us to be fooled, cause us to be distracted, or cause us to walk in a manner that is not the plan and the purpose that God has for us. So I just want to encourage you this morning, and I just ask you to just continue to just lift each other up in prayer, even especially through this time, through this coronavirus, even as things start to lift and as tempers will flare and as anxiety will even be produced, as people start to gather once again. Realize that if there is stress out there, if there is anxiety out there, that God's love overcomes all of that. So that is our job. That is our place, that we should be looking to see how the love of God, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, can truly overflow from us. That the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, all of that will just flow through us and just minister to each and every person that God puts in our sphere of influence. So praise God this morning, and I just ask that you just continue to just seek Him and continue to get into your prayer closet and know Him and know His plan, know His purpose, that your spiritual perception would be on par with God's desire for your life. Amen. Praise God for all that He's doing in our midst. And I just want to continue to urge you, continue to remind you, continue to exhort you to align your spiritual perception with that which God is saying to you, which that God has, and the plan and perfect will that God has for your life. And out from that, we'll develop an excellent spirit. Hallelujah. So I just want to pray this morning that each one of us would just hear this message, that it would not go, you know, go forth and come back void, but that it would actually impact our lives, impact our hearts, and that we would continue to seek God out for all that He has. So if you just want to bow your head with me in prayer this morning. Father God, we just thank You, Lord. We thank You for Your word. We thank You, Lord, for just being who You are to us, O Father God, for all that You do for us, O Father God, for all that You have in store for us, O Father God, for all the plans and purposes that You have for us, Lord. Lord, I ask that You mature each one of us, O Father God. Lord God, I ask that You align our spiritual perception, O Father God, with the plans and purposes that You have for us, O Father God. Lord God, anyone who is here or listening in this morning or watching in this morning, O Father God, that You would touch their hearts, touch their minds, O Father God. Anyone who does not yet know Your Son Jesus, anyone who has not yet come to salvation, Lord, I ask that Your grace will be multiplied unto them even now, even unto salvation, O Father God, and that Your plan, Your purpose, Your will, O Father God, would go forth, and that each one of us, O Father God, would be impacted by it, O Father God. We give You all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, deep, way down, deep, way down.